I mean, it's not like we sometimes we take it for granted, but to come into a church service and feel the presence of God. And I'll be and just this, and I'm not trying to say this to boast about me, but to have a pastor that will listen or try to listen. Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you want? You see, God can change things in an instant by the Spirit of God if he wants to. It's up to him. It's up to him. Amen. Okay, April 19th. It talks about on page 229, I will praise him. Now, I want you to turn to page 230 just for a minute. There are three words I want to make sure we understand what they are, okay? Exaltation. You see it at the middle, about the midpoint or so in the scripture, in the reading. Exaltation is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sentences down. Exaltation is a state of great joy, triumph, or jubilant delight. Okay? The next word is adulation. That means praise and admiration unto him. The next word is adoration. You know, adoration is worship and honor unto him. So when we read those, we'll kind of know what they are, okay? Amen. Go back to the original page, please. Page 229. It says this, I will praise him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalms 107, verse 2. Now the reading. From the most inward portion of my soul, I must praise him. From the depths of my spirit, I must proclaim his greatness. From the farthest recesses of my mind, I acknowledge his prominence. From the gratefulness of my heart, I will declare his marvelous work towards me. For he alone has freed me from the grip and the grasp of my enemy most feared. He alone has delivered me from the snares laid before my feet and has spared my soul from the dungeon of the eternal damned. He alone has led me to life abundant, life worth living, life with meaning. He has set my soul free, and it soars among the peaks with the majestic splendor of eagles. He alone has forgiven my sin, changed my heart, and opened my eyes. He alone is worthy of my praise, and I dare not, refrain my lips from proclaiming what my mind and my heart acknowledge. He is forever worthy of my exaltation, my adulation, and my adoration. My voice shall not be silent or stilled. I will join with all creation that has realized the truth and will declare that Jesus is Lord over all. For all eternity, I will exist to praise his name. You remember Daniel? This is not my sermon, but remember Daniel, what he would do at least three times a day? He'd look towards the temple, and he'd open his window, and he would, I won't kneel because I don't know if I'd be able to get up right away. I'm doing better though, I am. But he would kneel, and he would look, and he would worship the King of Kings. In the morning, didn't say exactly what time, and then throughout his day, his mind was upon God. And at noontime, I don't know if he'd go back to his house, wherever he was. If he was, he'd open the windows again, and he'd look towards the temple, the synagogue, and he would worship Jehovah God. And he would give him the praise and honor that he so deserved. Throughout that afternoon, sometime at the end of the day, I'd say 5, 6. I said 5 or 6, people say, well, that's what it, no, sometime during that time, he'd go again and he'd open up those windows and he'd look towards the temple and he would praise his God. He did that. You know what? It was not so much for God in the praise. It was more for him to keep his mind and heart right with God continuously. His heart and mind was on the things of God, and that changed his life. What a God we serve, people. You might say, well, Pastor, I can't do that at work. I tell you what, you can do it. You might not be able to get on your knees or whatever, or open the doors, but you can look up a little bit and you can say on your breath, Lord, I praise you. And Lord, I honor you. And let me tell you what, the Spirit of God will be with you that day. Let's praise him constantly. Let praise come off of your lips towards your God. No matter what's going on, no matter if there's disappointments, no matter if there's storms of life, we keep praise coming from our lips. And we build character on the inside of us. That no matter what's going to go on in our lives, we're going to continue to praise and worship the King no matter what. My Lord. Father, we just thank you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will answer these prayers, Lord God. Be with your people. Help them, Lord God. And answer these prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. What I want you to do is turn to Psalms 107. And we're going to read over a little bit of that scripture. Page 987. You know the scripture we just read. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. They don't know who the author is for sure. Most people think it's probably David. We can only assume. We don't know for sure. But he really is talking to the body of Christ, the believers. It has to. Because we're the only redeemed. The world is not redeemed. We've accepted the Redeemer as our Lord and Savior. But it says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This was a writing, and it was writing, they were writing to Israel. But they were really, we can take it towards us also, the body of Christ. They had started to drift away from him. This is in Psalms, because there's another scripture in Deuteronomy that we'll read later. Basically, almost the same as this. Little words are a few little difference, but basically the same. Israel had started to drift from them, from God. They started doing things that God didn't like. They started saying things that God didn't like. They started to live their lives that God didn't like. And so they started to drift from him. And so he was trying to get them back on track with him. They were starting to marry out. You know how, you know, God told them, don't marry anybody from that area, them. And they started to marry out. And there was a reason for that. You know, if you're single, you know, really you should only be dating Christians. I mean, and when I say Christians, Christian today is for anybody and everybody. I have to narrow it down now. born again believers that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and are striving to live for Him. That's who. Because I tell you what, it will save you a lot of problems. It does. But here we see Israel was starting to drift and God was trying to bring them back. Because you see, God loved the children of, and still loves the children of Israel. But they were starting to get away from Him. And God says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever." We're to give thanks unto Him. We're to thank Him. I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit about that, I think, Wednesday in our Bible study about unthankfulness. That, you know, that's a sign of the of things in the last days as far as before the rapture takes place. One of the signs is unthankfulness. And we see that everywhere. People are just unthankful. I mean, unthankful. Now, there are a lot of great people that are thankful, but you see it more common now than ever before of unthankfulness. God says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." The body of Christ as a whole has forgotten who is their king, for the most part. They've forgotten that it's not a man that sits on the throne. It is not a woman or a man that is God, but is God Almighty. And we're to give thanks unto Him for who He is and what He has done for us and what He has provided. It really, if you look at this, it's a command to the body of Christ to give thanks unto Him. To give thanks during the storm. Thank you, Lord. We don't like to go through storms. Who likes to go through a storm of life? Oh, thank you. Nobody raised their hand. Good job. You know what that means? Everybody gets an A+. At first, she said, "You were bad in school." No. That's the past. Don't look to the past. We're to give thanks unto Him as a body of believers. I mean, really. We're to thank Him for what we have. We're to thank Him for what He has done for us. We're to thank our Father for sending Jesus Christ for us, which He did not have to do. Amen. He did not have to send His Son. But there was no other way of redemption for mankind. It's a command to us that we give thanks. Now, I'm not saying you have to holler it out. Especially when you're going through something in life, your heart's hurting. But you can say it low. "Lord, I thank You. Father, I thank You." Because I tell you what, the enemy hears you. He also hears when you blame God for something also too. Ooh. He also hears when we don't, or when we say or don't do God's will. He sees our actions. He sees how we live, the enemy. But I tell you what, we serve a God that is mightier than him. And our God is in control of our hearts and in our lives. And how much we need to thank Him. No matter what's going on in our personal lives. No matter what's going on in our churches. No matter what's going on in our immediate families. We can lift our hands every so often and we can say, "Thank You, Lord, for Your redemption power. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done in my heart and in my life. It may look like I'm going under, but Lord, with You, You are a God that never fails. Oh, my Lord. It may look like it from the world, and we may see it. But I tell you what does God see? That is what truth is." That's for somebody. What God sees in the midst of your storm is what truth is ultimately. Not what we feel. Not how we feel. And hey, look, we'll get up tomorrow. And I'm telling you, probably all of us will not feel like Christians. What does a Christian feel like? We don't live by feelings. We live by faith in the Son of God. At whatever time we wake up. We get up. But we trust our God and we're to thank Him. It's a command by God, people. You really need to put that upon your list every day. And I'm serious. I'm not saying you have to kneel down. I'm not saying you have to do whatever. But I tell you what, as you get up, you just say, Lord, I want to thank you that you woke me up this morning. Thank you for life. You know, there's a lot of people that just life is zero to them, babe. They just don't. They don't want to live sometimes. They don't want to go on in life. But God gives life to His people. Thank Him for what He's done for you. Thank Him for giving you the Word of God. Thank Him for giving you a great church. Thank Him for giving you great family. Thank Him for whatever it is. But to be thankful as a people. In Luke 17, and I know this was brought out, it just pricked my heart at our Bible study. I want you to turn to Luke 17 about being thankful. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 17. And I know you know this, but God says we are to continually seek His word no matter what. Let us not be unthankful. And you know what? This is a matter of fact. What we were reading in the scriptures on Wednesday, and one of the things was unthankful. You know who he was talking to? The church. Got it. He wasn't talking about people out there in the world. He was talking about the body of Christ. In Thessalonians that he was talking to. The body of Christ. Can you imagine? The body of Christ, one of the things, and there's a whole bunch of stuff, bolsters, I mean all kinds of stuff, was to be unthankful. We don't want to be in that. We want to be thankful unto Him because He is commanding it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said unto Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, the comment says they got His attention, go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. He didn't lay hands on them and that whatever, but He just spoke it. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9 and 18? There are not found who return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And He calls him a stranger, people. And He said unto him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Only one 10 got healed. Only one. As they were going, and they all had faith when Jesus said, go show yourself. It says they were all going show themselves to the priest. Because as a leper, you have to be shown to, that was the authority there. And when they cleansed you, you will be able to go back into society. Because they cast them out of the city. They couldn't associate with everybody. So as they are running, I'm sure, as fast as they could, they will go and show themselves. They notice they're cleansed. As we obey God, as He speaks to us, He will move and do things that we never thought were possible at his command. When he says something, we may not be able to see it in action, because this is what we want. We want God to show us something, and it's done, and then we go. But he told them, just go show yourself. And as they were going, they noticed themselves of being cleansed and clean, and only one stopped and went back to the Lord, bowed himself, and thanked him. We've all been cleansed of sin, people. Don't forget to thank your God. Don't forget to thank him every once in a while, especially like Daniel did. Only one turned back, and it says this: oh, give thanks unto the Lord, our main scripture, for he is good, and we know God is a good God unto us. How many times has God turned him? You went to him and he said, don't come to me. Can anybody lift their hand? When was the last time you went to him with something and he said, get away from me? I don't feel like dealing with you. Never. Now, he might say, now get things right with me. He might convict, but that's loving care. That's a good God unto us. We're to give thanks unto him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Mercy is God's compassionate, loving kindness that withholds the punishment of sin that we deserve. He withholds, that's the mercy, he withholds what we should get. Thank God. Mercy will always be extended to the seeking soul, no matter what the sin or disobedience or the transgression has been, providing that soul looks exclusively to Christ and what Christ did at the cross. Only at the cross that the Lord will meet the seeking soul. The Lord will meet the seeking soul, whoever he might be, at any place. If we try to go to him in any other way, in John 10, let's turn there. This is what he says. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Interesting. 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 Matthew chapter 10. I mean, not Matthew. John chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. If we try to go to the Father in any other way, you know what he calls us? He calls us thieves and robbers. There's a lot of people in the world that are religious. And whatever, you know, people call us religious because we go to church. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Appreciate it. She's laughing. But you know what? There's no other way to the Father. You can't go through his mother. I know, especially in the area we live in, Mary is lift it up. But there's only one mediator between God and man. You can't go through saints. It's zero. I walked into a business the other day, and they had a bunch of checks, you know. A lot of checks. And I said, oh, you got a lot, you know, well, we laugh. And the owner, the guy came out, or not the owner, the one over the business comes out. He says, you're the third person on my list, a blessing. I said, oh, thank you. He said, now, you know, there's the Pope, then there's God, then he said something about saints, but he said, you're right underneath, because I had brought all the checks. I said, well, thank you. Thank you for letting me make the list. You know, you kind of like, okay. But, you know, we keep our eyes upon him, and there's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ, people. There's no other way. And anybody that tries to go to the Father, the scripture says, and it's not Jesus, he puts them in the category of being a thief and a robber. Not me. Not you. We're not telling that. But he's putting these people in that category that if I try to go to the Father without going through Jesus Christ, the one who has redeemed us, we're like thieves and robbers. We're to go to him because he is God. And Jesus is the way that we get to him. When they splattered it in Exodus, it says that they put the blood upon the doorposts and the lintel, so that the death angel, when he came, would not stop at their house. It was the forefront of what would happen to us today. You might say, well, we didn't do that, and we haven't done that at our house. No, 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 you don't do that anymore. When you got redeemed, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We have been redeemed. We have been bought back with a price, which is the blood of Jesus. That redemption of the blood that has been put upon our lives, upon our hearts, redeems us from the curse of the enemy. You see, God says we are to praise him. We are to thank him for what he has done, because he's good and he's merciful unto us. And because he's that way, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He didn't say, let the world say so. He says the redeemed, which is the body of Christ, has to say, our God is a good God. He redeems his people. He's merciful to his people. That's the kind of God we serve. My Lord, to give thanks and honor unto him for what he has done in our hearts and in our lives. He has redeemed us. Let's give thanks. Know that he's a good God. He's not a God up there waiting for you to make a mistake and hit you over the head and trip you up. I know when we were young, we heard that. The old man that's rocking in his chair ready to destroy us if we mess up. That doesn't mean we run when we mess up either. We face him. And he comes in with mercy and grace and love towards our hearts and towards our lives. He's redeemed us from the enemy. It's an amazing thing. He didn't say he just redeems us. But he says, I redeem my people from the hand of the enemy. Because let me tell you this. Before we were redeemed and before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I don't care if you were baptized or not. I don't care if you went to church every day. You were still in the hands of the enemy till you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it says that God took us out of the hand of the enemy and brought us into his family. That's God. And let me tell you this thing of we're all children of God throughout the world, that is not truth. It's not truth. Now, it means that God loves everybody. Yes, that is absolute truth. But the only children of Almighty God are the ones that have accepted him as Lord and Savior, have been redeemed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His blood is over our lives, our hearts. My Lord, we've been redeemed by him. It's us to call out and say he is a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a God that helps his people. And really, it's not for his benefit. It's for our benefit. that we get to call those things unto our God because of who he is. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. This will be the last scripture. Page 334. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 through 10. 334. Amen. In Psalms 107, I've just mentioned this, verse 1 and 2 that we read a while back. That was when the Israelites were starting to drift from God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, which is basically almost the same scriptures, are scriptures when they just came out of bondage. And their hearts were tender before God and not calloused. And it says this, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. Let me just stop right here. God didn't choose the Israelites just because he thought they were the best people on earth. He didn't choose them because they thought they were the most numerous people upon the earth. He just chose them. He chose these people. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand from Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This is the verse I want to get to, 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, and keeps covenant and mercy with them who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays them who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Here we see. This was a time where their hearts were tender. They had just come out and they saw God move like never before. They saw a God through 10 plagues break down the most powerful country in all the world at that time. To the core of their being. You might say, well, they were destroyed. Yes, they were. When they started to come back at the children of Israel, God drowned them all. The most powerful country. And by the way, talking about wars, and I wanted to mention this earlier, you know, the war has basically ended in Iran. Mm-hmm. They have conceded to everything our president has said has to be done in 2 months. I'm not saying, hey, look, but I tell you what, thank you, Lord. Now the work is, now they got to comply and all kinds of stuff, but they have conceded to it, and they are now drawing up the paperwork for them to sign. You know, they were losing 400 and something, is it million dollars a day because of the blockade? A lot of money. That's a lot every day, huh? They asked our president, will you take the blockade away? He said, after it's signed. So I just want to let you know, prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes the difference. Keep praying, but I want to tell you, they said it's over with. So thank you, Lord. Thank God. Well, look, and you know, God has kept our country basically strong. And we have to keep praying that we need a revival in our land of godliness in our land. Amen. But you see, this was when they were hurting. They had just came out. They saw great things, but their hearts were pliable. And God said, I'll be merciful to you. I am a good God. I'll help you. And even later on in in Psalms when they had resisted God and didn't follow his ways at times. They paid the price. They paid the price. They lost land. They lost their children. They lost wealth. I mean, just lost things because they didn't obey God. Let us be a thankful people. Let us be like the one leopard that says, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And as we're thankful, his mercy and his grace comes to the redeemed. We want God to be praised, honored, and glorified. And you know, it only comes from the redeemed people that have been bought back with that price. Let's constantly praise him through no matter what's going on in life. We praise him. Sometimes we may not be able to lift up our hands. Sometimes it's hard, huh? Yes? Sometimes it is. But our mouth can still move. Our mouth can still move. And we can praise him. Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for redeeming my soul. Thank you for giving unto me. I may not have everything I want, but that's okay, Lord. Whatever you want. Some things in life are hard, but you know what? You keep your eyes upon him, and the storm will pass. That's our great hope. We know that. It will pass. No matter what. It will pass. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may stand, please.